Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name's Marcus Speller.
My name remains Jim Campbell.
I'm Diggity Daz.
I'll be Pete D for a bit.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the preview show. What are we going to preview today? My goodness, we're spoilt for choice. How are you, gentlemen? Is everybody shaping up okay? Jim Campbell, I want to hear your hot take on what you've been up to.
I've been starting the Warnock for Gogglebox campaign in my own head, launching it now, it would seem. I just think it's something the nation would enjoy. Just Neil watching the telly with his little wife.
Can I just jump in and say the idea for those who came to a Ramble Live and know the skinny on this story, and maybe I'll stick it out there for patrons at some point. The idea of Neil Warnock sat with a tray table on with Will Hughes watching himself on Gogglebox is very, very nice as a prospect. I like that. So it could just be the thing we need to get us through these troubled times.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Pete D, what have you got to say for yourself?
I'm all right. I'm just like a. I feel at this point in proceedings, the Football Ramble Daily is like a warm, comfortable jumper that you've had for a little while, and it just gives you a sense of normalcy in these troubled times. We're going to grow stronger. We're going to grow better, and we're going to. I'm trying to talk like a politician. I've got nothing really. I've got absolutely spent time. I'm just trying to. Yeah, no, not of there. Exactly. Yeah, no. More testing, please. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes, it sounds like question time last night.
Marcus, I mean, you gave us nothing. You said, what's happening? I was like, I'm doing a football ramble, Marcus. I mean, that's all I've got, really. I'm in a box talking about non-football. Let's talk about the Korean League. That's starting up again soon.
Okay, well, I regret bringing you back into the conversation, because what I was going to say speaking of normalcy and perhaps familiarity, as you were sort of going on about jumpers and whatnot, the French football season has been called off, and PSG are Ligue 1 champions. They've done it again, everybody.
It's all come up PSG again.
Yeah. You've got to hand it to them, and they have. They had a 12-point lead over Marseille in second place. The decision was made after French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe suspended sport in the country until at least September. Apparently, there was that points per game system that was mooted. I don't know if they actually used it or not. There was some slightly different system taking into account performance of clubs in matches already played and blah blah blah. But it's not just that PSG have been given the title. Toulouse and Amiens have been relegated, with Lorient and Lens, or Lens as we would say, being promoted. So drastic action from Ligue 1. We've not seen this anywhere else, really, apart from in the lower leagues of Scotland. So again, the Scots and the French finding a bit of solidarity, Luke.
So it's different to what's happening in Netherlands, where they've obviously cancelled the season, but they haven't awarded anything. And then you've got De Graafschap and Cambuur, who are looking like they're probably going to prepare some kind of legal challenge as to why they've not been promoted. So I understand there's a situation where you can't really win, can you? Because whichever way you turn, there's going to be a group of people and a football club or two with their noses put out of joint. And so I accept that. But do you really need to give PSG the title? I mean, I don't really think they'll get an awful lot of sympathy if they start furthering legal action to Ligue 1 and to whoever is on the end of it, saying that they deserve to be awarded the title when they've essentially financially doped their way to titles for years and years, and will probably continue to do so in the future. I think the path of least resistance here would have been to perhaps go down the Netherlands route. I mean, now, having said that, Toulouse, as Lars Sivertsen was fond of saying on OTC, and hopefully will be fond of saying again, damn it, at some point in the future, Toulouse is less a name of a football club and more of a description of what they do.
Yes. Oh, hello. Oh,
blimey. Very good. Very, very good. I'm enjoying the different interpretations of this sporting merit thing. I wonder if the Premier League might look at that and say that, you know, because the current bottom three is Bournemouth, Aston Villa and Norwich, and say, all right, Bournemouth, Villa, you're not going to be relegated. But Norwich, you have been shit, so you're going down.
You've taken the piss, to be honest. Yeah. So for that reason, we've got to draw the line somewhere.
And we're going to do a draft for who takes Timo Pukki. Because he deserves to stay. He's the only one been doing anything.
No. I fear it could be a Marcus Stewart situation with Timo Pukki. We know in that part of the world it's happened before. He's been, you know, he was decent in the championship and all. They come up, he has a great season. Grant Holt wasn't as... Like, Marcus Stewart was ridiculous that season when Ipswich came up. And I think Pukki... But yeah, we remember Grant Holt fondly. And I'm, by the way, Norwich and Ipswich fans, I'm aware that Marcus Stewart played for Ipswich and not Norwich. okay, so that's not what I'm saying. You've got to catch yourself sometimes. But yeah, it is interesting what the French have done there. So PSG have been handed the title, which will, you know, just save time, I suppose. In the Bundesliga, they're ready and waiting to resume. A decision by the German government will take place soon, and that will determine whether football will be given the green light. Although the discussions have been delayed, so the earliest the Bundesliga will return is 16th of May. I believe that you and Andy, as you've mentioned on the continent, Luke, have discussed this. The Spanish government has approved a protocol for sporting activity, so clubs will start testing players on Monday, with training recommencing the following week. That looks like that's going to happen, and they'll see how they go. But La Liga is hoping to be back in June, which leads us all very neatly to Project Restart.
Before you get really excited and carried away with Project Restart, Marcus, and can I say, and fairly so, it's been slim pickings for us all. The situation around Europe is an interesting one, I think, for two main reasons. One is that it really shows how that just because one country is doing this, it doesn't mean it's any more or less likely that another country will follow suit. And what I mean by that is, you know, what's happened in France and Netherlands compared to what's happened in Germany doesn't necessarily inform anything that may or may not happen in England. And the second thing is, I think it is, I don't think it's been said enough, but there is a big difference between players coming back to train individually or in small groups or following protocols or whatever, and playing competitively again. So huge difference. And Andy was saying yesterday, in the thing that I found possibly the most interesting of all that he was saying on the show, is that there are a lot of players who feel ill at ease and don't feel like they've been prioritised in terms of safety around this, particularly in France. Andy said that a lot of players were breathing a sigh of relief that the season had been cancelled because they've got families, because they've got elderly relatives, because they didn't want to have to go to a camp for 4 or 6 weeks when perhaps they've got 3 kids at home and the grandparents aren't able to look after the kids or help with childcare or whatever. There's so many different things playing into this, which means that I do think we have a good distance to go before we get solutions to a lot of these problems.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the French leagues have sort of just went, just basically packed in, because it almost relegates them to a lesser league in grand scheme of things. Because obviously La Liga have got plans to get players back in training, Bundesliga, obviously the Premier League as well. But Ligue 1 in particular, there's clearly not as much money for, you would imagine, like licensing rights around the world. So that's why they're probably in more of a situation where they're probably prepared to reset in September instead of continue the season as best they can. So it does kind of, in the psyche of everyone, just sort of think, oh, no one cares about French football, clearly. And obviously it's it's a massive country and it's a big old institution, and there are a lot of cogs in the wheel, but you'd think they would probably have kind of left it a little bit later to figure out what the hell is going on.
But it's worth pointing out that actually every single football association in every different country is now has had a real reality check about how much influence they've got in the wider world, because that French decision, but it wasn't taken by the French Association, it's obviously taken by the government. And what the reality remains, that if any government tomorrow says in any country there's going to be no more sport, there'll be no more sport. They can only operate within the parameters they're given. So in actual fact, it's not in their hands anyway. But I do take the point. I understand what you're trying to say. But I'm just saying that the football associations, respectively, in different countries can't behave autonomously about what they do because it's not up to them.
Mm, I quite like it. To me, it's effectively a big Gallic shrug. You know, I mean, PSG are going to win it, aren't they?
Let's go with laissez-faire. Shall we go with that?
Yeah.
Yes, laissez-faire indeed. Okay, so Project Restart is still being drawn up with the hope of top-flight football returning in mid-June. Clubs are meeting today to discuss plans. So what will happen is, after we finish recording this today, there will be some genuine news that we've missed out on, or it'll be breaking news, no decision made. So one of those two things is inevitable. But some of the chat is neutral stadiums could be used to complete matches, and there's rumours that Prem clubs could have a vote next week over Project Restart. But
there's already a load of like WhatsApp, you know, those like crappy kind of like bad, I always talk about JPEG compression, but those badly kind of formatted little messages that go around WhatsApps. There's already like WhatsApp messages going, my mate is quite high up in the FA, and apparently they're all going to be going to St. George's Park. And anyone who actually cares a jot about football knows that A, they've got plans in place for St. George's Park. B, there is plans for them to get back training in like May 8th or something like that. C, it's all about government approval anyway. So like, it's kind of like, well, it's not a leap to make this crap up, is it really? And just forward it on. Germany cricket.
My wife's mum's daughter is a nurse's friend, and she says that we're going to be in lockdown and the police are going to be on the streets shooting people.
Yeah, oh God, I heard one of those going around where it was this woman going, it's going to be babies, it's going to be dogs,
shoes.
Stop reading the tabloids, Jim. Crying out there.
You've sent a few around spells in your time.
Sent a few what? Sorry, go on, say something outrageous.
WhatsApps, just sent a few erroneous WhatsApps written by an imbecile.
Yeah. No, they were written by me. I hold my hands up.
That's what he said.
Very spicy between Pete and Marcus today, isn't it? It's really brilliant.
We just haven't had sex for a while.
I was going to say, we miss each other so much that I think that, Pete, I always said it wouldn't work long distance between us, and I've been proved this time. This sort of passed me by, so forgive me if everyone's well aware, but the Premier League chief executive, Richard Masters, has written to all the clubs about another meeting. I mean, is that how he got the job? They just saw the name and thought, yeah, you'll do.
Yeah, you sound clever.
Yeah. But some are quite worried about this, including the mayor of Liverpool, Joe Anderson, who believes it will be farcical to restart the league, which has slightly upset Liverpool Football Club, because they say, well, hang on, it's not quite not play out as you're saying. Yeah, exactly. you meant to be for the city here. But there's fears that if the Prem does resume, we'll see groups of fans gathering outside stadiums and so on. Although one of the suggestions, if they do play games behind closed doors, is the grounds will be secretive. You know, we won't know where they're going to be, which of course will be.
We're going to be trying to figure it out on like Google Earth. It's just going to be like
Annika Rice.
Don't fuck with cats.
It'll become very apparent if a match is being played at any ground, because presumably as soon as the footage starts, you'll be able to go, that's Old Trafford, isn't it? Right, let's get down.
Well, I like the idea of a conversation where I know you said it was going to be secretive, but yeah, I mean, you haven't even told the players. I mean, I've just had Juan Mata on the phone. He's at the Clackett Lane services. You know where going.
Look, I'm just telling you guys, a mystery kind of serial style podcast where we try and figure out which mobile phone tower's been pinged by, I don't know, Virgil van Dijk's mobile phone. I'm having it. I'm in.
It'd be good. Be like Hunted. Be like that. The last bit in Hunted, where they've got to find the bit where they get away. But to my knowledge, the only neutral ground in the country is that little bit of Fulham's ground. So presumably it'll be at Craven Cottage.
Well, one of the stands at Craven Cottage is no longer there. So
true.
Oh, of course.
It would be very obvious anyway. Well, actually, I walked down there only last night, and you can see right into the stadium now. So if they did play matches there,
aren't you voyeur?
Then I'll see you. Well, no, it's a lovely Thames walk, Peter. So if they do play matches at Craven Cottage, I'll see you on the other side of the riverbank outside the Barnes Rowing Club.
I've seen everything. They talk about, there's a lot of shots of, obviously, just because of this is how it works, a lot of clubs are currently replacing their I can hear an Al Jean replacing their pitch at the moment, because obviously this is around about the time they do it naturally anyway. Yep. So people are going, oh, we're not going to restart football because Bournemouth and Southampton have both removed their pitches. Like, these pitches get replaced every single year at the same time, and they're back within the week, so don't worry about it.
These are the same people that track flights during the transfer window, don't they? The football detectives. Yeah. I love the football detectives.
Well, Chopper just landed at St. James's Park, and it's full of guys from like not round here. Takeover is on, guys.
I don't think Bournemouth's ground would be used as a hub if the league was trying to restart.
No. Well, I mean, they're talking about St George's Park, aren't they? St George's place, because obviously they've got all the facilities. They've got loads of different pitches. They could install the video, the cameras that they need to install. Will there be VAR? That would be the question. That would be the interesting question.
So last thing we need, haven't we suffered enough?
No, right? VAR under lockdown. It really has compounded the misery.
We didn't bring the league back because we couldn't get VAR up and running. I think St George's Park would be excellent because it's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. It's nobody can find it. So there you are. There's the solution.
Nobody can congregate because it's well kind of protected, isn't it? So it's probably probably the solution that they're probably going for, and they can keep everyone together.
Am I missing something about St George's Park here? Is it some sort of fortified like compound?
No, it's just in the middle of nowhere.
It's well protected in the middle of nowhere. What has it got, like turrets and a moat? And
no, it's just, it's got a really long drive, Jim. That's what it's got.
All right. Oh, that'll stop
it. It's a bit windy. There's loads of trees. And to be honest with you, if you don't drive, then you'd probably give up about halfway up the driveway. So I think that's what it's
And that's you, Jim. You don't drive.
No.
So
I'll have to sort of sneak in like a Leeds manager and have a little peek on a long lens.
Yeah, it'll be a football match, no one there, and just Bielsa in some bushes.
Watching, like spells
the Sainsbury's bag.
It's weird, isn't it? Bielsa's the one kind of man of that age you could find hiding in a bush and just not for a moment think there was anything perverted going on.
No, there is something perverted going on. It's just about football.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He's almost worse, I would say, than an actual filthy.
No, stop it. Why? Stop that.
Why? Because he's just banging to football more than anything else.
That's
to love
not
football
worse
more than boobies.
Breaking the law.
It is worse.
Oh, Marcus, anyway, move this on. Donaldson's gone
move
mental.
This on. It's his own fault.
It is my fault. You're absolutely right. Antonio Rudiger has said that Liverpool should just be given the title. So there you are.
Do we just find every footballers every week and just say Liverpool should be given the title and that's news? Liverpool should be given the title. The people are saying it.
He's lucky that Jose Mourinho is not still his manager with that kind of chat. Yeah. My goodness, he'd be in big trouble.
He's probably in trouble with him anyway.
Yeah, he would
probably
be.
Had him on the phone like, oh God.
One thing just to wrestle this back to some semblance of normality for listen, just for a couple of seconds. One thing I read that really caught my eye earlier today was that someone at Arsenal saying that if football does come back and it's played behind closed doors, and I think they gave a defined period of time that they estimated it would have to be behind closed doors for, Arsenal would lose £150 million in match day revenue. Now, I know Arsenal are up the top end of how much money they make from match days, but that does give you a really clear example of what clubs, even at the top level, will have to suffer through if they have to play games behind closed doors. And that's not even to mention, obviously, the difficulties down the bottom of the Football League and how difficult that's going to be. So it really is important to remember that this will affect every single club. And what it also means is, I think, that the very idea that there'll be some huge transfers for big money being made around this, I think, are probably quite fanciful given the circumstances.
And also you sort of think that well, if you've got a contract with a club as a steward, or, I mean, I guess they wouldn't be contracted employees, but if you're working for a club and you've had to take time out, you're getting paid 80% of your wages or whatever, and football comes back, but it's not at your home venue, presumably that just continues and you don't get paid because you're not working where you need to work, etc. But I'm interested to see how it works with Newcastle, because obviously they gave away a lot of season tickets. Did they gain money out of this situation? I don't really know. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a couple of phases to it. One is, will obviously be this the thing that, you know, the A-level computer science project Restart will be obviously a way of trying to complete the season. But over and above that, whether that happens or not, over and above that, beyond that, it'll be, say, the season starts again in September, but we can't have mass gatherings for another 6 months. The teams will obviously be playing at their own stadiums, but there'll be no one there. So, I mean, Jim, you'll know more about this than anyone else. The idea of Arsenal's matchday revenue is a really important part of their model. It's the same as Spurs. I know that for a fact. And it'll be the same for a lot of big clubs. That's a huge dent in their finances.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Arsenal season tickets this year, and I feel like I could personally have spent £150 million there
if I just had just on a meal deal,
a beer and a £17.50 brisket burger. £17.50 burger there. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge, huge amount of money lost for everybody. I suppose like the match day stuff hasn't really been taken into account so far, has it? And I guess you're right. This is going to be the same for everyone. My worry is that the sort of super mega super clubs, the PSGs and such, do still keep paying over the odds for players deliberately to make it then harder for other.
Well, they won't be able to, will they? Because of FFP.
Well, I don't know. You would think that they wouldn't be able to pay €222 million for Neymar, but they found a way, didn't they? So,
loaned him.
I don't know. It's not that high up my list of worries. But it is something that's in mind.
But Jim, on that, you know, it's a fair point, because there has been talk of having to suspend FFP for a defined period of time, because clearly clubs' revenue and all that kind of stuff is going to change in a big way. So there's a lot of, I mean, it's the biggest, certainly the biggest admin nightmare in our lifetime, and it'll continue to be the biggest admin nightmare until Pete finally submits his expenses. And and so
I am
really
the crash.
Hit home. You will be. So it's a huge thing with so many ramifications, isn't it? I mean, we need the football back, because all we're talking about at the moment is admin, because there's so much of it.
Yeah. Well, clubs Clubs in the Football League have been told that there's a huge possibility that the leagues will be cancelled, with fans not expected to return to stadiums until January. But there is chat now that the whole of next season will be played behind closed doors. That is a possibility that we have to keep in mind, which is, as you say, Luke, that is absolutely perilous for so many clubs down the leagues. And people talking about, in the wider context, businesses will go out of business and people losing their jobs. It's absolutely awful. And football will not be immune to this, sadly. Like, I sincerely hope not. But I just fear the worst for so many clubs.
It's going to change it in a big way.
Yeah. Let us move on to Newcastle United once again, because Maurizio Pochettino is reportedly the man that Newcastle United's prospective new owners want to manage the club should their takeover bid be successful. And straight after that, Poch came out and said he'd love to manage Tottenham again.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really cute, by the way.
Hmm.
What do you mean? Like, as in?
Well, he did a little. He did a little bit of. He did like a little interview with, I think it was on BT Sport, wasn't it, with a couple of other people. And he said that one of his ambitions remains to come back and win a trophy with Spurs, because, you know, he loves the club and all the rest of it. And I just thought it was quite a sweet thing to say, because you don't really see an awful lot from managers. But the fun thing is, Marcus, you put in the running order, Jamie Redknapp has called for more respect for Steve Bruce. Has he been listening to this show in lockdown? Oh, I'll give a good Football Ramble Daily a try. God, they hate Steve Bruce.
Give us a mention, Jamie. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on your Twitter, for crying out loud. What I like about that is, like, they're sort of saying, you know, the Pochettino is in the running to be the next Newcastle manager. And then he sort of goes, I'd like to manage Tottenham again. Obviously, he came in at a time where Tim Sherwood was managing the team and changed the culture, changed the way the football was playing, got rid of everyone apart from Loris Eriksson and Danny Rose, I think, and Harry Kane, of course. And so, yeah, probably it would be a similar project. You go, what the hell is going on here? What kind of football are we playing? What's going? The goal's over there, guys, crying out loud.
Pete, do you think as soon as that story broke that Newcastle United's prospective new owners quite fancy Pochettino, he was on the phone to BT Sports saying, give us an interview. I need to get rid of this. I need to nip this in the bud now. And I would rather go and manage in League One. I've always loved Wickham Wanderers. I want to manage Coventry. Just get me out of this. I'm being linked with someone I don't want to be linked with.
He's also, you know, there's also been a bit of time for the dust to settle on Spurs and Mourinho as a duo. And he's banking on this being a little bit like, you know, like Spurs have bumped into their ex, as in Pochettino, with their new squeeze, and they're having a row in public, and it's all very undignified. And he's thinking, "You sure you've made the right decision here? You remember what you're missing?" Oh, dear. I wouldn't be living in a hotel with my staff.
You know, Tim Sherwood piped up as well this week and said that Newcastle fans only want Benitez or Pochettino instead of Bruce because it's sexy and fashionable to have a foreign manager.
Did he say that in his sleep?
I've got a few points on this, Jim. Jim, look, one, Pochettino is definitely sexier than Steve Bruce. He's definitely more fashionable than him as well. Rafa Benitez, perhaps not so much, but I don't understand the point he's trying to make when you're kind of trying to say that someone isn't sexier or more fashionable than Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird comparison.
They're two managers who are, I think it's fair to say, proven in England. It's such a ridiculously archaic opinion, and it was never relevant. It was never true. But here he comes.
But it's like kind of like Alex Ferguson going, oh, where's he managed before? Japan. It's like he's looking at his nose going, oh, where's he managed before? The Premier League in England.
Yeah. Oh, what's he done before? Oh, a Champions League trophy. Oh, what's he done before? Oh, almost won the league with Spurs. I mean, it's not exactly the most compelling argument you could make there, Tim, given that one of them replaced you and the other one's won the Champions League.
And I'll tell you what, if you've ever seen a picture of Rafa Benitez when he's a young guy, oh my days, Google.
and oh, put yeah, on Safe great. Search.
Oh, and you know, obviously, we're going to do time tunnel a bit later. But the other week when we did a time tunnel and we focused on Tim Sherwood, the one thing we absolutely forgot to mention, and so we should do it now, is do you remember when Tim Sherwood was weirdly obsessed with his own win percentage?
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
that's right.
He kept saying in every interview 59.5% win percentage. So you know, look at that. 52% about that.
52% win percentage. 35% win percentage.
Yeah, and then he just stopped mentioning it after that.
Oh dear. Well, speaking of fashionable and sexy, Alan Pardew has left his post as ADO Den Haag manager. 1 win, 3 draws, and 4 losses. You work out the win percentage there. Could Big Pards become in vogue again back into England? We shall wait and see. We shall wait and see with our fingers crossed. Yeah.
the great escape artist has done it again. All it took was a worldwide pandemic for him to avoid relegation. It's like someone said on our Discord, who'd have thought bringing in Omar Bogle on loan would have meant that they wouldn't have done a better job of trying to survive in the top flight in Holland?
Oh dear. Would you like a David Moyes update? Because last time...
Yes, please.
Yes, I thought last time I thought that would get everybody.
Didn't even
back
wait for the answer; he just went straight into it. That's what I enjoyed. Do you want a David Moyes update? Here's what's happening. Yeah,
that was you boys had already walked before I'd produced the red card there, which I do appreciate greatly. Well, last time, of course, he was delivering groceries and whatnot to older people in his community. Or his village in, was it Lancashire he was living? Or so certainly up north. David Moyes, he phoned 86-year-old West Ham fan Iris Burrows after she recovered from coronavirus, which is delightful. Moyes is sort of saying, you know, well done, I hope you're doing well, blah, blah, blah. She's been watching West Ham for decades. Moyes is doing some great stuff. You can't deny during this lockdown phase.
I agree. I think he's clearly... getting involved, want to be remain part of the community, doing the right thing. I mean, we do, to be honest, we do give David Moyes quite a lot of stick just because, he is quite fertile ground for comedy. But I think he probably does seem like a decent type, and it's nice to see this kind of thing happening because we gloss over it. I mean, I think all of us on this show would describe ourselves as pretty fortunate in light of what's been happening. But for older people and for people who can't get out much anyway, and people who are less fortunate than us, it's probably bloody horrible. In fact, I know it is, particularly if you contract the virus. So it does, you know, it is worthy of respect that Dave is going out there and doing what he can do. And to be honest, because last week Jim went to town on David to such an extent that he started comparing him to a human skull with flames coming out of his head. I think it's only fair that we dress the balance.
Well, if I may have the floor,
I would like to do the caterpillar. Yeah.
You say that he seems like a decent guy, but we don't know what he said, do we? On the phone, it might have been like a crank call. Just because you're an old lady, don't think he won't be getting a slap. For example, you know, could be something he might have said.
He might just have been heavy breathing.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I'll just try and give him a bit of respect for doing something nice. But fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. It's now time for emails with Petey D.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Petey's reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with Petey D. As that jingle just made it painfully clear, if you want to get in touch with the show, it is shortfootballrambledaily.com. Hello to Steve Hewitt, who's got in touch. Good day, gentlemen. In this time of repression and gloom, I have taken to watching London 2012 on DVD in an attempt to feel better about the universe. The hockey came up at about disc four. I want to see your house, Steve, that you still got these DVDs kicking around, and you're on disc four of the DVD of London 2012. And the great God Barry Davies blessed my existence once again. I think we could all improve all future international tournaments 150% by simply forcing all commentators to speak to us via a terrible telephone line and mentioning classic literature once every 15 minutes or so. Ramble horse, Steve Hewitt. I do miss football matches commentated over really shoddy copper wire phone lines.
Oh, it's so glamorous back. It looks so good.
It's so good. I think we should. If it's going to be a lockdown version of the Premier League, we should be allowed to vote as to who we want commentating on the football. I'm going for Jonathan Green, maybe. I'm trying to think who I would have as like a dream commentary kind of team on the Premier League.
Peter, you know that someone once told me, I forget who it was now, but when they on their first day as a football reporter covering a game, this is obviously years ago, in the press room, the great Brian Glanville was obviously been doing it for however many years, decades and decades and decades. And he is obviously very old school. And despite the fact that by this point, people were plugging their laptops in and sending their copy, he was still at the end of the row on the phone, phoning in his copy, reading it down the thing to a copy taker. And I just thought, that is glamour. That is like proper John Le Carré stuff. I absolutely love that.
But it depends, you know, is the person on the end of the line really old school as well? Or is it some absolutely harried intern going, oh my God, this skill set no longer exists in the world.
You commissioned a few pieces in your time, Luke. You must have seen a varying degrees of people who are familiar with computer technology.
Yeah, I have. I mean, do you want me to name and shame?
Depends on how spicy it is, I guess.
I remember I edited Andy Brassel for years, and he wasn't very fond of doing anything else than just banging over a Word document and letting me take care of the rest. So I will name and shame him. There you go. What about that? Okay. Brassel.
Well, I mean, so Brassel's brilliant then. So that's what we're basically saying.
Brassel. No, because look, without getting into the minutiae of how it works these days, particularly with online publication, you're using CMSs. There's different bits of HTML to be included. You've got to tick boxes. You've got to do that. A lot of writers will go in there and do all that themselves and drop the copy and say it's ready for you to check. But not all of them would do that.
Look. I wouldn't trust you with a cascading style sheet. I'm not being rude, Luke, but you're not very computer literate either. This is the blind leading the blind, leading the Brassel.
Normally I'd expect that, but when I'm on the same show as Jim Campbell and you're saying that to me, that's outrageous.
He's hurt me there. Got an email from Scott Whitelock. Live football is back. The Korean K-League is back on the 8th of May. So he's awarded each of us a K-League team.
Nice
Jim...
One. Oh.
Jim, you've got FC Seoul, so that's the team you're looking after. A capital-based club, obviously, that the rest of the country has no time for. Used to be decent in the past, but are now a bunch of useless, pathetic idiots.
Oh, you know parallel. What?
So, yeah.
I like it. I feel at home there.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Their support base think they are much better than they are, so I'm sure Jim will feel right at home. It'll also be the ideal opportunity for him to dust off his Park Chu Young shirt and once again cheer for former Arsenal legend. Gyeongnam FC is Luke's South Coast team, who aren't quite an island nation but are quite close to a few islands. Finished second in the top tier in 2018, only to be relegated to the second tier next year.
Pete, how do I spell that decline. so I can follow them? How do I spell it?
Gyeongnam. It's a Gyeongnam FC. Marcus has got the airport team. Incheon Airport is Seoul's airport. Incheon United. Sven interviewed for the vacant managerial role over the winter, but unfortunately didn't make the cut. The gorgeous Swede might not be there right now, but at least there is something there for Marcus to spaff over.
The gorgeous
should have edited it. doing much spaffing. I've got Suwon Blue Wings. Historically one of the best teams in the country, but have suffered a serious decline thanks to stingy and awful owners. They've also got the loudest and most passionate supporters in the league, but I'm yet to see one of them punch a horse in the face. They are also the team that I support, so we can win and lose and most probably lose together. Hope you'll be watching when the league picks up again. Keep the hard work up, lads. You've kept me going during our social distancing in Korea. A Barnsley fan living in South Korea. Scott, we've all got our teams. Pete has got Suwon Blue Wings, Incheon United for Marcus, Gyeongnam FC for Luke, and also FC Seoul for Jim. And that is the final word on the emails this week.
Very good. Enjoyed that. Nice one, Mr. Man in South Korea.
I'll keep an eye out for him. Pete, is Korea, 7 or 8 hours ahead?
It will be 4 in the morning, though.
For a midweek game, I could probably get up and watch him in the morning.
Yes, I think you probably could. Yeah, that's true. But I don't know what the... Well, have a look at the fixtures. Have a look at the fixtures.
I will. I'll take this very seriously.
Yeah, before we get on to Time Tunnel, did you see, gentlemen, that... Thomas Partey, who plays for Atletico Madrid?
Yes. Yeah.
His agents have had to apologise and delete a social media post because they were asking fans to vote for his next club. They asked the people to pick his club. It's absolutely ridiculous. They asked people to pick his club from a choice of Manchester United, Arsenal, Juventus, Bayern Munich and PSG. Jim, you must be delighted that Arsenal are in there.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about it. His dad has been talking up Arsenal for a move, which is how things are done now, isn't it?
But Jim, did you vote for Arsenal, though?
Oh, no, this happened. I absolutely would do. But I don't think he's going to come to Arsenal. This is madness, isn't it? This is where things are going. Game's gone. Game's gone, guys.
You say it's madness, Jim, but I say it's the future.
You're right.
And the thing is great is that it's not a coincidence, is it? That his agent haven't put out some kind of average clubs in there. I mean, Arsenal aside, obviously. Because they obviously want him. I mean, what do they think could become? This is the thing, right? This is why it's so funny, because they are the people he's employed to make good decisions for him, yet they've thought this is a good idea. Yeah. If that were me, I'd be on the phone saying, right, well, you've shown that you can't be a good agent, so I'm leaving now. That's not happening anymore, because I don't want to have to think about this kind of stuff. The tail is wagging the dog here. This is the kind of sort of thing I would do.
And what happens, what was the plan for when the poll was over? Would they pick the winner and then approach them with it, going, look, the numbers say that you should sign Thomas Partey?
Next Twitter poll. How much money a week do you think Thomas should be earning? A, 200 grand. B, 300 grand.
Oh, dear me. Do we think Diego Simeone might have had something to say about this? Or I don't know.
Maybe. Yes. Probably with his fists.
Yeah. God, I imagine Thomas Partey's ears are still ringing.
Yeah, his words assault you. I know that wasn't him, but in that case, it would be.
Yeah, no, his fists assault you, I think, is the quote for Diego Simeone. Oh, dearie me. Gentlemen, I'd like to bring to the table Dave Kitson.
Yes, is well reminded, Marcus. That was something I desperately wanted to talk about this week.
And unwelcome dinner party.
Yeah. there was a one quite... well-known reason why Dave Kitson isn't as popular as he'd like to be, and I'll let people fill in the blanks on that. The very idea that
blanks.
he Yeah, very idea that he thinks that he could be the best person to run the PFA, given what his career's been doing so far. I just thought it was very, very funny. And I've had a few texts. This is Luke's Wicked Whispers. I've had a few texts from PFA members since this happened saying, Dave Kitson, this PFA guy, lol. So I don't know if it's going to have many legs in it.
God, if lockdown has taught us anything, is that footballers are clearly very bored that they're texting Luke Moore stuff.
They're always bored, and not just because they text me.
You up? This is 1 a.m.
Yeah. Footballers texting Luke. Luke, you are a baby step further towards sitting on a panel with Jim White on Deadline Day now, saying, well, we've heard that this person's been...
I'd love to see that.
Do you want me to read out one for you?
Put a dildo in his ear.
I've got one here. It just says, you okay, hun? That's from from Raheem Sterling.
Stay strong, mate.
I've got another one saying, new number, who dis? That's from Clint Hill.
Yeah. Check out this meme.
Yeah.
Right. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to go into the time tunnel. Time tunnel, everybody. Pete, did you choose this week's time tunnel?
I did. Very quick. I chose it on my birthday and I was a bit drunk, so I'll level with you. I only listened to the first 20 minutes.
That's what anyone does.
Yeah. Regarder son visage, which I think is... I'm fairly certain I named this one, and I think it was supposed to say... just look at his face. But it actually says, just look at your face. So my French clearly wide of the mark there. But it was the birth of my nickname, Diggory Donaldson. It was back in the 26th of August, 2014. We sounded so much more youthful 5-6 years ago. Scottish independence was, of course, big on the agenda. Luke chose Terry Butcher for Scottish PM, which would have been a wildly unpopular choice.
Get him away from me.
It was just really nice to hear how Spurs put QPR to the sword. It was obviously Pochettino's, I think, first match in charge, or certainly one of the first matches in charge for Spurs. And everyone was talking about Dyer's Portuguese footballing heritage. We don't really talk about that quite so much anymore. Yeah. Pochettino might be the man to bring all this talent Spurs have together. So that's... that's pretty prescient, I think, for the football ramble. He was.
Yeah.
So well done, you guys.
Pete, is this correct? The Diggory thing came from the fact that your dad wanted to call you Diggory. Is that right?
Yeah, he was very much on the... yeah, I don't have a middle name, so I don't know why he didn't even just put it in the middle. But no, he was very into... it was either Diggory or Peter.
It's just not a name.
His brother's called Ralph. That's not a name.
Well, how's it spelled?
Ralph. I think it's like Rafe, but... Northern. But Ralph in the Northeast is like you're a dickhead. Like you're an F and a Ralph. You know, you're an idiot. And he's literally been called an idiot from birth. He's dead. Wow.
Oh, Peter. That's like when Neville.
He was a terrible
Phil man. Phil and Gary's and Tracy's dad, Neville. Isn't it the story that the reason he was called Neville is because when he was born, his mum was, I think, under some kind of duress because she had just given birth, and the dad was tasked with naming him, and he had to get back to work, so he just called him Neville.
Yeah, that's the story, isn't it? That he was too busy.
There are plenty of names. Stephen, Bob, Michael. I mean, there's three.
Anything.
But they'd be better than Neville.
Yeah.
It's a great David Bowie song, that's all I'll say.
Going back to Time Tunnel, I was quite pleased to reconnect my brain with Joseph Minala, if you remember him, the Cameroonian forward, and he joined Lazio, and there was talk that he was sort of 18, but he looked a lot older than that, shall we say.
Yeah.
And Bari had just confirmed that they'd got him on a one-year loan deal. And so there was much chat, and I don't particularly want to talk too much on the sort of age thing, because I understand that you can get into quite distasteful territory and where it could lead up on one extreme kind of thing.
Like Tim Westwood has this week.
What? Tim Westwood's been involved?
Yeah, not in this. Just distasteful territory with age.
Right. Oh, okay. Right.
I see what you mean.
I thought, what, Tim Westwood's come out of lockdown and start giving some big haymakers? I missed this.
I mean, I think we're all on trouble ground because I think on last week's Masked Winger, one of the clues was my country doesn't exist anymore, and someone said a Nigerian footballer. It's like, a couple of Nigerian fans, so a couple of Nigerian emailers emailed in going, "What the bloody hell?"
but they could have been born in a different country. They could have been born somewhere different, couldn't they?
But also, as well, you know, as we have displayed over and over and over again, sometimes you forget the previous clues. So it'll be, I scored 25 goals for my country, and then the next minute you go, is it Edwin van der Sar? You know, like, don't worry about it. But anyway, Manala is now 23 years old, and he's on loan to Qingdao Hunghai in China. That's where he is. Obviously,
but the thing, so when we talked about Manala before, I can't remember this specific incident. I listened to this last night. I can't remember specifically what was said, but because if you go back and look at news reports, because that made news, that Joseph Manala made news in this country at that point for exactly the reasons you're talking about, Marcus. I think the reason it was of interest is because he was. Allegedly, he was there saying he was 17, and there was a subsequent investigation, and it was found there's no further action required, and he is what he says he is. But the rumor was that he was actually 42.
That
is a massive discrepancy. That's a 25 year difference, which I think does merit sort of some kind of comment.
It was absolutely outrageous because if you looked at his physique, he looked. You know, proper sort of six pack. You know, he looked like an athlete, and I thought to myself, unless you're Clarence Seedorf, like very few 42-year-olds can achieve that. But I remember the acid test that Pete suggested. I think this is maybe during one of our live shows around that time. Was Pete was saying they were doing all these tests, and you just need to say to him, "Have you heard of the Fine Young Cannibals? Right, you're 42.
Maybe he was born through a time tunnel. So he just came out older. And actually, you know, it was, I'm sure we all remember this picture, but if you don't, it's worth a Google because it was the idea that he was 17 was ridiculous. But do you remember that picture of Diego Costa when he was a teenager? And he also looked like a sort of grizzled war veteran. Yeah. So sometimes people just weirdly look older than they are.
Any footballer in the 90s, like who played for like West Ham, Julian Dix, he looked about 50.
Dix,
don't make me say that.
He'd quite like looking about 50 now, wouldn't he, Julian Dix? That'd be all right for him, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Obviously,
literally 51.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Just got to be careful about saying his name in case you upset him. I always feel like Julian Dix could tie you in a knot.
Yeah.
And just like leave you somewhere.
Don't say his name three times into a mirror.
Yeah. He'd throw you over your shoulder like a regimental soldier.
He'd boot you into the distance like it was a penalty.
Yeah. All right, then. All right, everybody. It's now time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
Oh, while that music was on, I was just sort of thinking about Julian Dix's penalties. Beautiful. What a penalty taker that man was. Right, almost fittingly, the clues this week have come from a man called Thomas Cluett.
Very good.
Yes, not too bad, is it? These are nice and simple. Got to keep them nice and simple. We are recording at distance, so we're going to rattle through these. There's around about nine of them. So let's get involved. The Masked Winger, people. I was born on the 6th of July, 1974.
Stop. Is it Sir Bobby Charlton? You see? Sometimes you forget the previous clue.
And I'd like to point out that he is a winger this week, so look out for
that.
Oh,
interesting.
I have 84 caps for Brazil, scoring 6 goals.
Jim. Danielson.
Nice, Jim.
Danielson.
Nice guess.
Nice.
84 is probably a bit much, isn't it?
My clubs include Real Madrid and Hamburg.
Hang on.
I can think of a Brazilian player that played for Hamburg, but I can't remember his name. Oh, my God. Stop. It's not Luke, it's not graffiti. Oh, that's Wolfsburg, wasn't it? For fuck's sake.
Oh, unlucky, Luke. No, it's not. It's have a go, but well done, mate. My honours include the Copa America, Bundesliga, and the Emir of Qatar Cup.
Oh, saucy.
That could be anyone.
Come back, Pete.
Are you getting the guitar ready, Pete?
Jim. Ederzinho.
It's not him.
No, I made him up.
It's not.
It sounded good. I was thinking to myself, who's
well
that?
Done, mate. Well done, mate. Well done, mate. You've defeated a shit quiz. I was named in the World Cup 2006 All-Star team.
Oh, come on.
Stop that. I can hear that. Wait. Who's doing that?
Who is that?
It was me.
Peter. Agent of chaos.
Final clue.
Is it Alex?
It's not Alex, no.
There was always an Alex in there somewhere, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Not the defender.
But you said there was nine clues. That's been about four.
Two, three,
to be
four,
fair.
Five, six. By nine, I meant six.
Okay, right.
All right, I'll add three in all at the same time. He is a man, he has legs and hair. this is your final clue. I played over 150 games for Bayern Munich.
Oh, Luke, it's got to be Zay Roberto, isn't it?
It is Zay Roberto!
Yes!
Oh, wow, just getting... Jim and Marcus, would you have got that if you had, like, 2 seconds more?
Probably not.
No, as Luke said it, I thought, yes, that's definitely the right answer, but no, I was done. I was done, bruv.
He's kind of an underrated Brazilian, really.
Yeah, he was a good player.
The thing that threw me was the 84 caps, because I wouldn't have pegged him as having anywhere near that amount. I thought he would probably be down in the 40s, maybe.
Right, okay. I was looking at, I think we were talking about on WhatsApp this week. I got a Ural Reds T-shirt in the Tokyo J-League, and the name on the back was Washington. I wonder who that was. And we were talking about, like, Washington, the footballer. And Luke, you said you remember him almost getting into one of the World Cup squads for Brazil.
2002 World Cup squad, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you
check
might be
out
right, yeah.
What, like, what Washington, the Brazilian footballer Washington. His full name's, like, Stecanella something Washington. But he's 45 now. Look at his goal record. I think Fenerbahce passed on him because he had a heart condition. But he has scored a ridiculous amount of goals wherever he went. And I think he manages back in Brazil now. But what a... His record is like 300 games, 200 goals. It's incredible. And like, obviously, not the highest standard, but wow.
The problem is he scored goals wherever he went. The problem is a good percentage of those clubs weren't very good.
Don't be rude. We all need goals, don't we?
Yeah,
that's the mass winner. If you want to get involved with the show, if you want to get your clues in, it's glold@footballrambledaily.com. GLOLD. I know that's confusing, but what are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do?
We all need goals, ladies and gentlemen. Little reminder before we go that we shall be watching Dan, Dana, Dan goal for Pete's Film Club on Monday. Forgive pronunciation there. and on greatest greatest games tomorrow, we've got Sasha Goyunov talking about a huge match that decided the 1989 Soviet Top League, which, of course, not that long. I think it was a season or two before it was broken up by the breakup of the Soviet Union. So a fascinating encounter that game was. So get your lug holes around that lot, everybody. But until then, thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. And thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Warnock for Gogglebox.
Thank you, PED.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you very soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.